If you allow fear to reign in your life, you're also allowing the gifts of God to be muted. Don't underestimate the gifts that God's given you, because you're underestimating the Holy Spirit. You're downplaying Him. When you downplay what He's given you, you're downplaying Him. We don't lack power, because we have the powerful Creator on the inside of us. We don't lack power at all. And whatever is needed, we actually have what we need to solve that situation, to be that ready, ever-present help in time of need, which is the Holy Spirit, the greatest wisdom, the greatest counselor, the greatest teacher. Don't underestimate the gifts that God's given you. If you allow fear to reign, to have its habitual place in your life, you're also allowing the Holy Spirit's gifts to be muted. You know, as I was reading, you guys can turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. We are very familiar with this scripture, verse 7. Very familiar. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're all familiar with this scripture. Well, we're going to talk about this scripture here today, but I want to tell you something. As I was reading the word this week, the Lord said to me, He says, I want you to read the scripture that comes before it. And so I read the scripture that comes before it, verse 6. It says, therefore, I remind you, now this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking this to his spiritual son, to Timothy. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We know that scripture as well. But he says they're connected. They are connected. There's a continuous flow. We're going to look at the correlation between verse 6 and verse 7 because they go together. And sometimes we can miss the correlation, how they go together, and think that they're two separate scriptures, like standalone scriptures, but that is not true. I'm going to read it again, but this time I'm going to read 6 and 7. Are you ready? Yeah. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He goes right into, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let's stop right there. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Back up to verse 6. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There's a gift of God in you through the laying on of hands. You have received a gift from God. And he says, I want you to remind yourself of this gift of God, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. They go together. And I got to thinking about that. And the Lord was saying to me, because fear, the spirit of fear, tries to rob you of your God-given gifts. And it happens all the time. It could just be even for that moment or for that night or for that season, right? But the spirit of fear will try to rob you from walking in the fullness of the gifts of God. We cannot let that happen. You cannot let this happen. Amen? We've been called to be overcomers, but the spirit of fear will try to rob you of the gift of God that is in you. And every single one of you have been filled with the gift of God and gifts, plural. Amen. Now you can keep your finger there if you like, but let's jump over to 1 John 5:4. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are we all born of God in this room and online? Yes, whatever, for whatever, it could say for whomever is born of God, what does it say? Overcomes. Overcomes what? The world. Overcomes the world, for whomever, for whatever. Each and every one of you are overcomers. You have overcome the world because of Christ, because he's overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, and that is your faith in the finished work of the cross. Because of faith, and you believe this, we've heard this, we take this in, we believe this, but you need to recognize that the enemy will try to, and he's very crafty, but he will try to instill fear so that you don't walk in the fullness. Oh, I don't want to say that. What if I'm not right? Oh, I don't want to do that. What if it doesn't happen? Well, I don't want to pray for somebody. What if they don't get healed? Well, I don't want to say that. What if it's not the world? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's not God. And that right there, the enemy will try to put those seeds of doubt so that you walk in fear instead of faith, so that the gift of God in you is shortchanged, is frozen, is controlled. This is the plan of the enemy. He wants you to be stifled. He wants you to walk less than what God has given you. And he says, you're an overcomer. Everyone. We're overcomers in the faith because of Christ's work on the cross. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 1 and 6. It says, Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. It is our responsibility to remind ourselves of the gift of God that we have already received. It is the gift of God. It is your responsibility to stir up, to remind yourselves, I walk in dunamis power. I have all the gifts flowing in and through me. I don't lack for anything. You don't lack for anything. You have the gifts of God. Now, that word gifts is the charisma. When you look up the root of that word, it's charisma. That's God's charisma. I'm not talking about a personality where one person is very much more charismatic than another. I'm talking about the gift of God in you. It's God's charisma, God's power in us. Amen? Now, again, keep your finger there, but let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12:7. We're going to start in 7. We're going to read these 9 gifts that are listed in this portion of Scripture. There are others. So verse 7, it says, but the manifestation... By the way, the word manifestation is, it actually means gifts. It means expression, the expression or the manifestation or the gifts. So, but the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. Those gifts that God has given unto you are for the benefit of everybody else. That's why he's given you the gift, to benefit other people. Amen? It says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as the Lord wills. Amen? So we see these 9 gifts of the Spirit here. But when you look at verse 28, same chapter, just look at verse 28, there's a couple more gifts listed. Verse 28 says, and God has appointed these in the church. In the church, you have been gifted. God gave these gifts and continues to pour out these gifts for his own beloved. They're not out there. Now, there are counterfeits out there, and there are demonic gifts out there, right? But God has given these gifts to his beloved. And like I said, it's for the profit of everyone else, right? It blesses you, but it's for someone else. The gift is literally for somebody else. He's given it to you, so you pour it out in the church. And I don't mean like you only operate in the church. I mean believers have been given gifts from the Lord so that when you go out there, you walk in the gifts. When you're here, you walk in the gifts. The charisma of God, the manifestation of God, of his Spirit. Now let's look, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. You have been appointed to walk in the gifts of God. Amen? Then he says, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, then helps, and then administration, and variety of tongues. Every single gift is important. Every single gift. And I think it's important that we look at all of the gifts and say, wow, the Lord has gifted us, and I believe that he wants to pour all the gifts into each and every person. Now, I think you would, you know, there are some that maybe you walk in more than others, but God wants to give you every single one of these gifts. And of course, there are times and seasons where you're ministering to certain individuals, and the Spirit of God will come upon you in a stronger way for one of these gifts than maybe you normally walk in, because that individual that is in front of you needs it. Needs what he, the Lord, has put in you, so you pour back out. But if you allow fear to enter in, you short circuit what God wants to do in that very moment, and it is easy to do. It's so easy. It's so subtle. But that's why I'm always talking about being led by this Holy Spirit and be present with him. Let him be present in you, which means mindset. Because obviously God is always with us. He will never leave us. But it's a mindset. We have to have the mindset that wherever I go, he will be with me wherever I go. When I open my mouth, he will fill it. So it's a mindset of reminding ourselves that we are filled with the gifts of God, and we're not going to allow fear, the spirit of fear, to rob us or to even just shortchange us, even just a little bit, even just a little bit.
The Lord, because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the teaching.
Because I believe that God wants us to be reckless, not in a crazy way, reckless, in other words, in a way of just being abandoned. Maybe that's a better word. Just abandoned unto the Lord, right? Like not worrying about people. That's even better. Not worrying about man, fear of man. That's such a hard one sometimes, until you finally get that freedom of the fear of man, because it's a yoke. It's literally a yoke, which has no other assignment other than to strangle the life of Christ in you. But we're not going to let that happen, are we? No, not at all. Not at all. You know, and sometimes when people think about gifts, they forget the most important one. Turn your Bible, just maybe one page, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Look at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, the very end of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And he goes, the whole chapter is dedicated to love. The whole chapter dedicated to love. How to define love, what love really is, what love really is not. And it takes a conscious effort to walk in that gift of love. It is a gift, but it takes a conscious effort. And sometimes it's easier than others. But with the Spirit of God, it's possible. Say, it's always possible. Always possible. Amen? But it's a choice. So love is also one of the gifts. Well, of course it is. The opposite of the spirit of fear is love, right? Of course it is. But we're not going to walk in a spirit of fear. We're not walking. We're not entertaining any of that in the name of Jesus. Amen? Why? Because fear paralyzes you. It will paralyze you. Jump back over to 1 John. Fear is such a crippling paralyzer. It's horrible. It really is horrible. And I'm talking about the spirit of fear. But we know that love perfects us. It'll build us up. It'll fill us. It perfects us. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. But I'm going to start in 17 just because I can. Because it's so good. Love has been perfected among us in this. Love has been perfected. That's a big statement. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. There's no fear. Turn to somebody else that needs to hear it. There's no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Perfect love is mature love, by the way. Perfect love or mature love casts out fear. It casts it out, because fear involves torment. this dreadful fear of the worst going to happen, torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. He who fears. Yeah, it's so good. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear paralyzes us, but the love of God will perfect us. It's important because there are people that are not walking in the gifts of God, not fully anyway, because they're too focused on, well, the fear is limiting them. It's limiting them. We can't have that. Let's go to Matthew 25, because there's a parable in Matthew 25 that the Lord drew my attention to that fits perfectly with what we're talking about. It's the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25 and verse, I'm sorry, yes, 25 and verse 14. I'm just going to start reading it here from the word. Verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants, his own servants, and delivered his goods to them." Verse 15, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Everybody received the talents that were allotted unto them, and they went, and then the master went on a journey. 5, 2, and 1. And then, this is then, verse 20, or 16, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5. Doubled what he was given. He did something right. He used his talents. I could say, use your gifts and watch them multiply. I could make that analogy. Use your gifts and watch them multiply. Verse 17, "And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also." He multiplied what he had. He started with less. It doesn't matter. He multiplied what he had. Verse 18, "But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money." He dug it in the ground. He hid it. He hid what God gave him. Don't hide what God has given you. When you hide what God has given you, it's taken away. It rests. Not literally, God does not take it away from you, but it becomes dormant. And the fear of you not wanting to walk in it, it's as if it was taken. Because if you're not walking in it, it's like, well, I don't see the gifts operating. It's still there, but you got to kick the fear out. Because fear is immobilizing you, literally immobilizing you. Verse 19, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5. And saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.'" There's no doubt as to there's 10 now, right? "And his Lord said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" I will make you faithful over many because you were faithful with the few. I believe that the Lord is saying, you know, each and every one of us are called. We are called by God, and we're gifted by God. He's given us his gifts. He freely gives us his gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, right? He freely gives us his gifts. And if we would use those gifts, God will multiply those gifts. And not just multiply the gifts, but he'll be pleased with the fact that you're walking in the faith that is required for you to walk in those gifts instead of the fear that wants to limit you from walking in the fullness of them. Amen? Are we all following? Amen. Verse 22, he also had received, the one who received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, look," he says, "you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." Lord said to him, "Well done." He had the same thing spoken over him. Well done. You know, good and faithful service. He says, "I've made you faithful. You were faithful for a few. I'm going to make you faithful for more. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And then verse 24, "He who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was what?'" What does it say? "And I was afraid." Fear gripped his heart. He thought he was doing the right thing, but fear gripped his heart. He says, "I was afraid, so I went and I hid the talent." I hid the talent because we had 1. "I hid the talent in the ground. Look, here you go. Here's what's yours." Well, he didn't have a very good response, did he? This is the Lord said in verse 26, he answered him, "Is you wicked and lazy servant?" We don't want to hear that. Right? We don't want to hear that. "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10. To everyone who has, more will be given. To everyone who has, more will be given." Amen. I'm going to say it again. To everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. God wants you to walk in abundance, not just financially, but in every gift that he has called you to walk in. Some have a gift for how to handle finances. That's a gift. He wants you to walk in all the gifts, but abundantly. "But from him who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away." Now that's for the parable, correct? It'll be taken away. Now we know that God gives his gifts to us. He's not receiving, he's not removing it from you. But if it's dormant and it's not seeming to be, you don't see the fruit of it. Is fear stopping you? You might say, no, it's not. Think again. Maybe think again and maybe ask the Lord, because it's subtle. Don't think he's going to go knocking on your door and say, "Hey, this is Mr. Fear. Here, I don't want you operating in your gifts." It's subtle. The spirit of fear is so subtle. Are we all following what I'm saying? We recognize it and we reject it, the spirit of fear, so that you walk in the fullness of the counsel of the Lord. This is the counsel of the Lord, to walk in the fullness of what God has called you to be. Because there's a world out there that is a dying world that needs to know the church is empowered, because we have the powerful creator on the inside of us. We don't lack power at all. Amen. And whatever is needed, we actually have what we need to solve that situation, to be that ready, ever-present help in time of need, which is the Holy Spirit. The greatest wisdom, the greatest counselor, the greatest teacher. Don't underestimate the gifts that God's given you, because you're underestimating the Holy Spirit. You're downplaying him. When you downplay what he's given you, you're downplaying him. We're not going to do that, are we? We're not going to do that. So fear will rob you of your boldness. Fear will rob you, but the love of God will fill you with boldness. Amen? Amen. If you allow fear to reign in your life. And that's different from experiencing a moment of fear and saying, get out of here. If you allow fear to reign in your life, you're also allowing the gifts of God to be muted. And I want you to think about that. If you allow fear to reign, to live there, to have its habitual place in your life, you're also allowing the Holy Spirit's gifts to be muted. And I don't think you want that. I'm going to have you all stand, because I'm going to pray for you right now regarding this, because I believe that God wants to encourage you, strengthen you, and show you everything he's already given you is already yours freely. It's a gift. It's freely given. Freely you have received. So you're going to freely give it back out. You're going to freely give it back out. We are going into this week of Thanksgiving, and many of us are going to be with family that maybe you're not with all the time, right? Well, that's going to be a perfect opportunity for you to remember this message. When fear tries to, and that fear could be in different ways, you know, that intimidation, that just you're quieter than normal, just whatever it might be. I don't want to say that. I'm going to cause a whole ruckus or whatever. I mean, you got to use wisdom, but don't let fear be what's really at work, and it's disguised as something else, right? So it's a great opportunity to say, Lord, you have empowered me. Father, you have empowered them. I'm just going to pray. Father, you have empowered them. We are empowered with the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us, each and every one of them. And I thank you, Father God, that your gifts are good, good and precious gifts. So many, it's even hard to count. But I know that the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, the spirit of fear, spirit of intimidation, the one that wants to come and muzzle their mouth and quench the boldness of Christ in them, I know that the enemy wants to stop them from walking fully in faith, fully in love, fully in the gifts. But I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Well, I rebuke that off of them right now. And I thank you, Father, that this day, I thank you that this day is a turning point for them. I thank you that this moment is going to be a turning point for them. Oh, I thank you. A turning point happening right now. Right now. Right now. Receive it. Right now. The faith of God right now. The faith of God right now. The infilling right now. Infilling of the faith of God right now. Boldness. Holy boldness right now. Holy boldness. Father, take out the old. I take authority right now over anything that would limit them from really walking in the fullness. Lord, any familiar spirit has to go right now. Familiar spirits have to go right now. It's hard for them to even differentiate if it's fear or not because it's a familiar spirit. I rebuke that familiar spirit. I command it to get out of their lives, minds, hearts, emotions. Leave now in Jesus' name. I apply the blood of Jesus over them. I thank you, Father. I don't care if it's generational. I thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus right now, every generational spirit of fear has to be broken off of them right now. The generation that they're walking in is the generation of the Lord our God, the Most High God, filled with dunamis power, the DNA of Christ. And so right now, mindsets being set on truth and not lies. Because there's a world of people, there are many, many people that need to know the love of God and need to see that God has not removed his spirit from his people, from the church, that the church is just as powerful today as it was when Jesus walked on earth. It's just as powerful today, and it will always be. It will always be just as powerful. Right now, I just want you to thank him. Right now, I just want you to receive from him. I'll thank you, Father. You have given me boldness. You've given me every gift. I'm going to faithfully walk in those gifts. Lord, forgive me for times that I've made excuses. Lord, forgive me for times that I've let the fear of man have its way, or doubt have its way, or what any excuse have its way. Forgive me, God. I don't want to walk like that. I want to walk boldly with you, Lord God. So what if I make a mistake? Lord, you're more than able to take care of that, to help me, to train me up. Amen. Train me up. Teach me, Lord. Yes. Teach us, God, yes, to walk in the fullness of Christ. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name.